6'6" above sea level. I grab my mic because I like to take it to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground. We bring the truth to places truth is never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision fly by helicopters in the night.
And good afternoon and welcome to A Public Affair. My name is Norman Stockwell. I'm your host today, sitting in for Karma, I think, who would normally be in this seat and is away this week. And today, a two-part program. In the first part, we're going to talk about last night's State of the State address. Governor Scott Walker gave his third State of the State address. It was televised on Wisconsin Public Television. We linked to it on our WRT webpage. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to listen to some clips, and we're also going to speak with Ron Dolan of the group Reach Out Wisconsin, a civil dialogue group based here in Dane County. But right now, the State of the State took place last night in the Capitol. Watching it on television, which I did, I thought that it was actually kind of sparsely attended. I was surprised to see the number of empty seats, both on the floor where the legislature is seated, but also in the gallery, where in previous years' State of the States, you've seen large numbers of people. In fact, I think they had to turn people away sometimes. So I thought that was interesting. But let's listen to this first clip. This is Scott Walker's opening remarks from last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are moving Wisconsin forward with bold vision and bright hope for the future. 2 years ago, when I first stood here as your new governor, Wisconsin was facing a $3.6 billion budget deficit. Property taxes had gone up 27% over the previous decade, increasing every year, and the unemployment rate was 7.8%. Today, Wisconsin has a $342 million budget surplus. Property taxes on a median-valued home went down in each of the last 2 years, and the unemployment rate, well, it's down to 6.7%.
Opening remarks there from Governor Scott Walker at the beginning of the State of the State address. So we go through a little bit of a review of the State of the State last night. What were the highlights? What was missing? What was not stated there? And with me here in the studio, Ron Dolan of the group Reach Out Wisconsin. They're a civil dialogue group based in Dane County, as Ron puts it, not just the east side of Madison. And Ron, talk a little bit about the work that your group Reach Out Wisconsin has been doing.
Sure. In December 2010, me and my, at the time, girlfriend, now wife, Katie Songer, we didn't quite understand how Scott Walker was elected, frankly, because we live on the east side of Madison. We're liberals, and we didn't know any conservatives. So we decided to change that. Katie contacted the Dane County GOP and said we'd like to have dinner with a couple conservatives. And Scott and Carol Grabens met with us. We started having monthly dinners talking about different political issues. And as the months progressed, things started raging in the Capitol over the budget bill. Things got a little wild in 2011, and by August, we decided that we were having such rare conversations of civility in this state that we would share those conversations. And we've been having monthly political forums, bringing people together into a safe haven to discuss hot issues from abortion to concealed carry to jobs, voter ID, the whole gamut.
And, you know, it's interesting. You talk about this notion of civil dialogue, and I think it's interesting that during the past 2 years of the Scott Walker administration, we've seen the state become more divided, I think, since the Civil War. You know, and the families that stories I hear from people going to their family reunions or their summer gatherings, and they say, we can't talk about politics. It's so different from the Wisconsin that so many of us have known for the last several decades.
Yeah, I like that old bumper sticker on the back of, you know, trucks that was made in the 90s. It said, you know, Wisconsin, you're among friends. And it just happened to be a blue bumper sticker with a red state. It's kind of nice. I mean, you know, it strangely has the red and blue in there. I don't think Wisconsin's known for that now. I mean, if anything, the past 2 years we're more divided than ever. And you know, this, I am part of a civil dialogue group, but I am partisan. I'm left, and I'm representing myself when I say it. I, I think Scott Walker is mainly to blame for that. I'm sure some others, like Scott and Carol, might disagree with that and say, you know, the protesters are just as much to blame, and, you know, we got ourselves into this mess. But we really are a divided state now, and that's what we're becoming nationally known as.
Now, you watched the State of the State address last night, and what did you see as some of the highlights? It seemed like now that the Republicans have a majority in the Senate and the Assembly and the governorship, of course, and the Supreme Court, that there wasn't so much talk about bipartisanship.
No, I never heard the word bipartisanship until I heard the Democratic response from Minority Leader, I think it's of the State Senate, Chris Larson.
Yes.
He used the word bipartisanship. Even though he's using that, I mean, is that a buzzword he's just throwing out there? Well, at least he's throwing it out there. And I have heard... Oh, I can count once in the last 2 years that I can recall Scott Walker saying the word bipartisanship, but I just didn't hear it last night, and I really wanted to. That is not the main thing he's bringing to the table in his administration.
Yeah. The phrase you often hear from Republicans is the notion of working across the aisle, and I thought it was interesting watching last night. There were a number of times when Scott Walker got a... standing ovation from one side of the aisle, but the other side of the aisle, the Democratic side, remained seated.
That's natural, too. I mean, if you have a complete domination of all facets of government, you control all the cards. You can decide what to do. And so why do they need to be bipartisan? The only thing is, if Scott Walker takes that control as a mandate, he calls it a mandate, I think that's almost immoral, because the reason they even have the assembly is due to redistricting. I mean,
now the mandate that he feels he has is particularly around the area of job creation. He spoke a number of times about the people that want him to create jobs in the state of Wisconsin. He ended up bringing on to the stage a group of union workers, members of the operating engineers, and also the carpenters union, particularly around the issue of mining, which is one of the big job creation priorities that he put forward. Let's listen to Scott Walker from last night talking about his budget priorities, and particularly mining.
People want us focused on things that will improve the economy and our way of life. That's why I've laid out five very clear priorities for the next 2 years. Create jobs, develop the workforce, transform education, reform government, and invest in our infrastructure. And it's also why I've asked the members of this legislature to stay focused on these same priorities and not get distracted on other issues. One of the best ways we can show the people of Wisconsin that their state government is focused on jobs is to pass a bill that streamlines the process for safe and environmentally sound mining.
Now, of course, it's interesting that the bill that they want to overturn, the mining moratorium bill, was also based on the notion of safe and environmentally sound mining. And it asked, if a company is going to set up a mine, they have to prove that a previous mine hadn't caused pollution. And we haven't seen any new mines in Wisconsin since that bill was enacted under the leadership of Spencer Black and others. What about this focus on job creation? I mean, we haven't actually seen a lot of jobs created. In fact, Chris Larson, in his Democratic response, said that the Department of Labor statistics just out show that Wisconsin is worst in the Midwest and 42nd of the 50 states in terms of job creation.
Yeah, I mean, there was a 40-minute speech given by Scott Walker about job creation, and he has this big goal of 250,000 jobs by 2015. We're halfway there. And looking at the
halfway to 2015.
Halfway to 2015, but in terms of job creation, according to two state departments, we're at 37,000 jobs or 38,000 jobs, which is roughly 90,000 jobs behind the halfway mark. I am by the way, I'm saying this civilly and in my own partisan fashion. I'm representing a bipartisan group, but this is just one side. This is how I feel. And that was the big monkey in the room last night. He just wouldn't say the number because he didn't have the number.
In fact, he talked about the whole issue of the difficulty of measuring employment numbers, even though his campaign during the recall had touted those numbers. But let's listen just real quickly again to Scott Walker from last night talking about this issue of measuring unemployment.
Our state needs a way to accurately measure employment on a real-time basis. We need a better way to quickly measure trends and identify workforce needs by region. So we're working with members of the legislature to enact a system to help us connect workers to jobs in areas of great need from current and future employers.
So again, basically saying that even though he has been touting these employment numbers, he's not sure about the numbers themselves or the, you know, how you measure those numbers. So it's an interesting conundrum. And he began the talk by began his address by talking about the unemployment when he came into office, which he said was around 9%, and how much it had decreased. But there's some question about how unemployment is measured both here in the state and nationally as well. Here in the studio with me, Ron Dolan of the group Reach Out Wisconsin, a civil dialogue group that is based here in Dane County and has been dialoguing between conservatives and progressives on a number of different issues over the past year and a half, 2 years. We're talking about the State of the State address. Took place last night in the Capitol. You heard at that one juncture there, you heard some of the protesters in the background, even though they were not in the chamber where the speech was being given. Their voices could be heard through the doors. Let's go to the phones right now. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Norman. Just wanted to make a comment. You remarked that the state is probably more divided than it has been at any time since the Civil War. I think a more accurate comparison might be the Vietnam War, because I see many of the same things, the name-calling, the polarization, the extreme dislike or almost hatred of one faction for the other. So it's all very reminiscent if you recall the Vietnam period. Also, you mentioned that the operating engineers were mentioned in the State of the State State of the State message. If I remember correctly, the operating engineers were also the only labor union that supported Tommy Thompson when he was governor. And at some labor meetings I've been to, there's a very outspoken member of the operating engineers who indicates that that union is extremely repressive and undemocratic. For example, in his case, he cites that for having spoken out about certain practices with the union, he's gotten maybe zero referrals for work as a result of his own personal viewpoints. I'd like you to take those points into consideration, and thanks for an interesting program. Take care.
Okay, thank you for that call. Yeah, I can't speak to the caller's comments, but I'll just say a little bit about the operating engineers. That's the people who run cranes and large equipment, and as a union, they've always felt they had sort of a bad rap. They're kind of an unknown union. And Joe Glazer, famous labor folk singer, did a special song for the operating engineers years ago, because here's these, in the case of New York, you know, these folks working up in tall buildings doing very dangerous jobs and not getting much recognition for it. But in this case, here in the state of Wisconsin, operating engineers did come out in support of Scott Walker during the recall process. Last April, I think they endorsed him, and it was those same operating engineers who were brought on stage last night holding up a Wisconsin flag and showing that the Wisconsin flag does include a figure of a miner as part of the state crest. And with me here in the studio, Ron Dolan of the group Reach Out Wisconsin, a civil dialogue group. If people want more information about your group, how do they get hold of you, Ron?
Thanks for asking. It's reachoutwisconsin.org, O-R-G.
Okay. Let's go to the phones again, and we have a caller waiting on the line. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm interested in the conversation that the guest had regarding the difficulty of civil dialogue amongst conservatives and liberals or progressives today. I have a family situation which is much the same as he described. I consider our family relations now to be fairly shallow because we are so polarized politically with in-laws and others that we can't really bring such discussions to the table. I'm wondering if your guest would be eager to comment on how you have a civil dialogue with someone who you can scarcely respect. Let me point out that now some corporations have CEOs who earn 1,700 times what their line workers do, whereas it used to be more in the neighborhood of 17 to 40 times. How we can tolerate a society where we have single parents with children, and those parents are working two part-time jobs and not even making a living wage. How do people dialogue with each other respectfully, and I mean that in the literal sense of the word, with respect for each other, when there is such a degree of disconnect on what constitutes a reasonable civil society?
Okay, let's get some comments from our guest, Ron Dolan of the group Reach Out Wisconsin.
Well, first off, you just have to meet with the person you disagree with in the same place. Facebook's probably the wrong place to have a civil discussion. Face-to-face meetings are best. And at that point, you just need to give your background, give your personal story. You don't necessarily want to talk politics first if you really want to see somebody as a person. And then sometimes you're just going to have to agree to disagree. There's going to be differences in culture, values, politics. For instance, here I am. I'm one of the founders of a civil political dialogue group, and yet I can barely discuss politics with my own father. We're very similar people. We love each other, but we disagree fundamentally about politics. The guy loves George W. Bush, just loves him. So I can just leave it at that. So sometimes you just have to, around the Thanksgiving dinner table, just let it go. Don't talk politics. Talk Packers. Talk, whatever. Drink a beer.
Yeah. To me, one of the things about sort of civil dialogue is information that, if you have sufficient information about a topic and everybody is sharing that same information, I think that, it's more, the conversation is more even-handed and open. What we find so much nowadays is the media, particularly some of the conservative mainstream media, tends to feed people only one particular view of the facts, and then you have the echo chamber of the internet that kind of amplifies those, and so it becomes much more difficult to have an open dialogue conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm. And the more you discuss civilly, the more you realize you have at least some things in common. We all want a better Wisconsin. That's why we're interested in politics at all. Okay. And, for instance, in our discussions, I was shocked that Scott and Carol, they like to do environmental restoration, even though they disagree with me on the amount of government regulation there should be on the environment. We have a lot in common, but you don't realize that if you just, send ghastly Facebook comments to this faceless enemy you never see.
And let's listen, speaking about this whole topic of bipartisanship, of working together, let's listen to a little bit from the beginning of Senate Minority Leader Chris Larson's, what do you call it, the response is the word I'm looking for, his response to the State of the State from last night at the Capitol.
Tonight, we should be honest with the people of Wisconsin. You just heard calls for bipartisanship from the governor. The policies he proposed were not bipartisan. Funding an unproven, unaccountable gamble with our children's future is not bipartisan. Forcing through an extreme mining bill that will take at least 7 years to create jobs is not bipartisan. and giving tax breaks to those making over $200,000 a year at the expense of our schools is not bipartisan.
That was State Senator Chris Larson speaking last night in response to Governor Scott Walker's State of the State. And we're talking with Ron Dolan of the group Reach Out Wisconsin, a civil dialogue group based here in Dane County, and talking about last night's State of the State. We have three callers holding on the phone, and so what we're going to do is take all three callers in succession and then get to some remarks and some closing comments. And hello, caller, you're on the air.
I'm calling you. What the governor said is those five items that he's going to work on are his priority, and he doesn't want any other distractions. Well, I don't see where issues like, one that's really in my best interest is global warming and climate change, and the fact that Wisconsin is doing next to nothing about it, as well as the country, in terms of what is really going to be required to address this issue and to start slowing it down. Otherwise, and it has severe economic implications, not only from the standpoint of damage, but also jobs can be created by alternative ways of living and doing business. And none of this is being talked about. So
okay.
That's a priority. I don't think he should be distracted. He should be highlighted.
Okay, thank you for that call. Let's go on to the next caller. And hello, caller, you're on the air.
I'll be really quick if I can in mentioning this principle of neuroscience. The Coca-Cola Pepsi test, in which they discovered that people like Pepsi when they have a blindfold test, but if you ask them what brand they like, they will tell you Coke because of their affiliation to the brand name. And they discovered that the part of your brain that actually lights up when you're drinking the Coke, and you know that it's Coke if you're one of those people who have that, is that a different part of your brain lights up.
Hmm.
And it affects your reward center, so you get like a pleasure from the affiliation of drinking the thing that your body would have rejected because you'd tasted it or blindfolded and you didn't like it, but that center gets overridden. And so I think that part of what we need to do is to realize arguing about certain things will get us absolutely nowhere, and it actually increases the polarization, and we have to find some kind of a way to establish affiliation with people that are completely disenfranchised for one reason or another, many of whom just feel like those leftist liberals in Madison are putting them down and say they're stupid just because they're hicks that live in the country. And I live in the country, and I get this from my friends in Madison all the time who ask me, why don't I move into Madison where all the hip people are? Why do I want to be out there with those people? And this is a problem. This is a problem. We need to consider a rational way to deal with this if we're going to get anywhere. That's
okay.
All I got to say.
Okay, thank you very much.
What about Kucinich? More people would vote for Kucinich because they didn't know in the blind test, when they took the blind test online, they all wanted to have Kucinich be the president based on his platform. But when they find out who really is running, well, they wouldn't vote for him.
Okay.
That's all. That's it.
Okay, so the Kucinich and Coke and Pepsi. We have one last caller to squeeze in this segment. And hello, caller, you're on the air.
Well, I'll double what she said about Kucinich, but the operating engineers endorsing Walker, I don't know how much they have to do with this proposal for widening I-90 from Madison to the Illinois state line. But I have friends who own farmland along that line that really don't want to see their family farms destroyed, and basically if this goes through, that's what's going to happen. And this is for $800 million worth of cement. You know, and it is a dangerous stretch of road at this point in time. I mean, I don't know how many fatalities there have been at the Edgerton exit, but, you know, Taxi 2000, that system, anytime you bring it up, they go, oh, you're not a mass, you know, that system needs to be in a high urban area. No, not really. That system needs to be tweaked out in an open environment because there's going to be issues. For the $800 million they're talking about, for possibly $1 billion, they could run Taxi 2000 from Chicago to Milwaukee to Madison to the Twin Cities and back and do it much more, you know, and the maintenance. It would pay for itself in 3 years. It would subsidize other infrastructure improvements. And I just cannot believe, you know, basically the insurance industry never wants to see a mass transit system in this country succeed. When Seattle put theirs in, the first test run, they had a 60-mile-an-hour head-on collision. I do not believe that that was an accident, okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much for that call. We're just about out of time for this segment, and I want to thank the callers for their comments. We've been talking about the state of the state. Here with me in the studio, Ron Dolan of the group Reach Out Wisconsin, a civil dialogue group. Maybe that's an issue that your group would like to address, is the whole issue of mass transit. We certainly didn't hear any mention of it in the state of the state last night.
No, we didn't. And we didn't hear about global warming either, like the person said. But Obama didn't bring it up in his election, so why would Walker?
Well, we want to end with one last segment that we have here recorded from last night. This, produced by news volunteer Dylan Brogan, was some reactions from last night's State of the State address. We'll hear first from Representative Dianne Hesselbein, followed by Representative John Richards, and concluding Representative Melissa Sargent and their reactions to the State of the State address. This is the file called State of State Reactions that's on the computer, and I want to thank you, Ron Dolan, for joining us here in the studio today.
Thank you.
Tonight, I invite all of you here and all of you watching at home to join us as we continue our work to move our great state forward.
I was a bit surprised. I thought we would have a little bit more of the details. We talked about education reform without any ideas.
Was there anything you liked about it?
Nothing that I can think off the top of my head. It was nice that he introduced his family.
And what issues do you think you can work together on?
I'm hoping we can work on educations, on funding our tech colleges. People keep talking about the skills gap, but I know if we put money into our tech colleges and our K-12 education, we could solve that problem together. And also, I'm on the Veterans Committee, looking forward to working on veterans issues for the entire state of Wisconsin as well.
We've only just begun this epic struggle for what's right. I declare that while I still have breath, I'll join up in the fight. The 1% will have to bow, accept the people's might, cause the 99 are moving on.
I was disappointed tonight. There was a real opportunity to bring Democrats and Republicans together to create jobs. I didn't hear that from the governor. We have so many bills that we could work on together, Democrats and Republicans both support, and we need to come together to focus on jobs in Wisconsin. We're projected to have the second worst job growth in the nation over the next few years. We are behind in all the surrounding states in job growth. Clearly something has to be done. And Democrats and Republicans are willing to come together, but we need leadership from the governor to do that. I didn't hear that tonight. It was the same speech I could have heard 15 years ago about the same things he's always been talking about.
That job creation is something that needs to happen in Wisconsin. We tend to be lagging if you look at national studies. It's a matter of doing it in an accountable manner, and that's where we tend to disagree with the direction that the governor is going in. Bringing in businesses from out of state isn't going to help us. We need to invest in our local businesses and create jobs right here for our citizens of this great state. As a small business owner, I know firsthand that it's not working, and I think that if we're going to be moving forward, we need to acknowledge the mistakes that we've made in the past and make changes and change our direction. And I did not hear the governor say that he was acknowledging any mistakes that he made.
Next month, I will lay out a clear plan for how to achieve these priorities.
And that was some reactions last night. You heard Representatives Dianne Hesselbein, John Richards, and Melissa Sargent, all Democratic members of the state legislature. And then you heard in the background various protesters, including folks from the Solidarity Sing-Along and others outside the State of the State address. And you're listening to A Public Affair. My name is Norman Stockwell. I am sitting in today in this Wednesday time slot, and thanks to Grania, my engineer, on the other side of the window there.